I'm excited about our new series. In light of all that God has continued to do, our new series, as we gear up to remember the resurrection, we want to focus our emphasis in preparation for that special time of celebration called Easter. We want to focus our attention on the reality that the crucifixion to the resurrection is the road that Jesus chose through the cross to the empty tomb. And I hope you've made your way to the ninth chapter of Luke already. If you turned on your Bibles or turned in your Bible to Luke chapter 9, our message is coming from the 51st verse. 51st verse of the ninth chapter of Luke. God's word declares, "When the days drew near for him being Jesus, to be taken up, crucified, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go toward Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village." For emphasis, let's read that first verse again. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In our message for the morning, we want to address the text with this thought in our minds: set to go. That our Savior, Jesus Christ, was set to go, and we are the better for it. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask that you'd allow your word to take deep root in our hearts, that it might produce fruit for your glory, that we might be able to love you better, love each other more as we live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Set to go. Have you ever met anyone who is always ready to go? I mean, even when they don't know where they're going to go. You ever met anybody like that? My wife and I, we have four manifestations of love. That's what we call our kids. They are our blessings and our, well, sometimes terrors, but I'm not going to tell them that. I'm going to be pastor. Here it is. They are our blessings, and I do have to confess. Is it okay, Mike, if I confess this morning? I know you're going to keep it between you and I. We're going to keep it between you and I. Don't tell anyone else, okay? But it's between you and I, because I know you understand this. I have a confession that my little girl is my favorite daughter. That's my confession. She is my favorite daughter. And in fact, all the kids know. Okay, so it's not. Some of you looking at me like, that's a shame. I have four children, but she is my favorite daughter. Now it doesn't matter. She's my only daughter. But that's semantics. She is my favorite daughter. And Merle, oftentimes my favorite daughter would always tell me, she said, "Daddy, I want to go with you." So I would say, no, Precious, you don't even know where I'm going. She said, "It doesn't matter where you go, Daddy. It just matters that I get to go with you." That was my sweet lesson, Mike, as the Holy Spirit nudged me to compel me to challenge each and every one of us through his word, that as we look at Jesus, who is our model to follow, Jesus Christ, our Savior, as we examine his commitment, may it stir within all of us a similar commitment to go all the way with God. I hope you caught that, because that's the message right there, that we are being challenged to go all the way with God. Not part of the way, not kind of the way, but to go all the way with who? To go all the way with God. Because Christ Jesus went all the way. He went all the way to fulfill the commitment for why he came. And as followers, we must have the resolve to go all the way in God's will. The Bible declares that Jesus, when the days drew near, the days speak to an anointed timeline, if you would, a divine destination where God had already prescribed that Jesus, God in flesh, would come down to earth and give himself as a ransom for you and I. The text declares that an agenda was already set. The time had come near. And look at what Christ does. The Bible says he set his face toward Jerusalem. He directed all of his attention to his assignment. Christ, our Savior, followed the Father's timeline. There's progression now that is seen on his face. You read it in the text. His face was set. His focus was on going forward to fulfill the very work that the Father had I called him to do. Jesus did not merely make demands of his followers. I want you to check this. I want you to see the text. He doesn't just make demands of us to lay down our lives for the sake of the cross. He didn't just make demands of us to take up our cross daily and follow him. No, in this text, Christ our Savior demonstrates for us what determination really looks like. And in our lives that we live, let's be honest, there's so much that will happen in our lives, particularly when you give your life to Christ, that will try to derail your commitment. They'll try to distract you. They'll try to cause you to go to lanes of destruction. But God, when he's on your side, you will realize that he's able to deliver us from it all. Hold on. You look like you don't believe me. Let me check for a moment. Anybody, since you've given your life to Christ, it looks like all hell broke loose in your life. I'm looking for some real folk just for a moment. Anybody here will tell the truth that when I gave my life to Christ, that's when it looked like the trouble started. I know I'm a preacher in the pulpit, but let me just tell you the truth. As we try to deconstruct some of the deceptive teachings in the world, when you give your life to Christ, the truth is when you choose to follow Christ, you will have challenges. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. But let me go ahead and give you some good news too, Brother Mike, that Christ says, he said, don't be weary when you go through tribulation because he's already overcome the world. Somebody here knows I'm telling the truth. Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you didn't know how you were going to make it out and yet you didn't give up on God? You didn't give up on prayer? You didn't give up on the church? Others may have walked away, but you were still committed. And wasn't it like God that he reached in the midst of your mess? Maybe that's just my testimony, that in the midst of all my mess, he reached down, grabbed me out, dusted me off, and said, no, you're going to be a miracle. Because he's always been faithful, get this, to us. And he demonstrates for us what divine determination looks like. The way it looks like in the life of Christ is the same way it ought to look like in a Christ follower. So Christ continues, because Christ, in demonstrating this divine commitment, I want you to get this, in verse 51, we see that Jesus was decisive about fulfilling his destiny. He was decisive about it. His mind was made up. When the text says his face was set, it was fixed, it demonstrates that his mind was already made up, that there was no turning back from this point, that when God had set the agenda, the timeline of his life, his mind had already been fixed. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Hear me, Christian fathers and mothers. Hear me, Christian grandparents. God is challenging us to set the GPS systems of our spirit and our lives for God's glory, that our minds are set, that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens through our lives, that we will live our lives for God's glory. I hope you get this, because you do understand that we were created for his glory. You do understand that when he handcrafted us and called us into existence, he called everything into existence for his glory. And when you give your life to Christ, what you're saying in essence is, I'm following you to the glory of God. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what challenges come my way, I am determined, I am committed to following you. And Jesus demonstrates it because he was decisive. In the 9th chapter of this same book, Luke, 9th chapter, 22nd verse, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, on the third day be raised. And he said to all, if anyone will come after me, look at the text, he said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. I want you to understand this, that Christ was so decisive in his commitment that it challenges you and I that if, as followers of Christ, we do anything, catch this, we must follow him in our commitment to live for him. I told you I saw this as my kids were growing up. My wife can testify. We were talking about this just earlier because I remember telling my son, I said, son, why do you always have your hands in your pocket? Son, why do you always walk the way you walk? Okay, you're looking at me like you don't understand this thing. But I think by a genetic disposition, some of us walk a little differently than others. And let me tell you, Lorraine, I have a certain swag that comes with my walk. It's a preacher swag, but Mike, there's a certain swag that comes with my walk. I really didn't pay much attention to it until I started seeing my boys, and I'm looking at them, and they have their hands in their pocket, and if you ever saw them every now and then, there's a certain swag, I know something. It's a certain rhythm that we walk with. Lean to the side. I'm digressing. I don't mean to do that. And I looked at him and said, son, why do you move like that? He said, Daddy, because that's the way you move. I'm trying to help y'all understand something, that when we give our lives to Christ Jesus, he is calling us to live our lives as we follow Christ's example and follow him as our leader, that we are decisive in our own determination, that no matter what we have to face, Jesus knowing that he had to face persecutions, Jesus knowing that he had to face rejection, Jesus knowing that he had to face the cross and Calvary, Jesus knowing that he didn't face it, he still set his face with a solid commitment. Hear me very well, brothers and sisters, that if we're going to follow him, we got to have our faces set as well to our own Jerusalem, our own representation of our love for God and our love for others. His face was set. He was decisive. But keep looking with me, because as he demonstrates to you and I, not only do we learn from Jesus about having a decisiveness to fulfill the destiny that God has for us, secondly, Jesus demonstrates a dedication to go the distance. I'm still in the text. Verse 52 said it this way, and Jesus sent messengers ahead of him who went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. I want you to get this. Jesus, so committed to the destiny that is laid out for him for God's glory, he sent messengers ahead of him. And oftentimes in this context, what would happen is messengers who went forward would go forward of a proclamation that represented the one who was to come. I hope you catch this here. He sent messengers ahead of him to advertise that he was coming. He sent messengers ahead of him to let those know in that community that he was coming, but he was coming for a specific purpose, for a specific determination. He was coming to make a difference and to deliver us, and he set them ahead of him in preparation. Jesus was willing to go the distance. He chose individuals to prepare a path for him to come. He was fixed. His attention was fixed before him. He was focused on the progression to fulfill it. He was dedicated, and he sent those messengers to tell everyone about his dedication. We discover the value of a public confession through this testimony in the text, because when Jesus sent them forth, he sent them forth letting everybody know at least one thing about him, and that he was determined to go where the Father had called him to go. Let me check for a moment here, because the reality is some folk around you, they may know a little bit about you. By examination, people can know your proclivities sometimes by the very way you dress. They can look at how your mannerisms are. They can learn some things about you. And when a preacher asks you questions in worship, people tend to learn some things about you. Let me see for a moment. I'm just going to illustrate it this way. How many of you like country and Western music? I'm praying for all of y'all. How many How many like jazz? How many of you enjoy jazz? I'm leaning on this side right here. Okay. How many like Southern gospel? Southern gospel. How many like contemporary gospel? How many of your friends know what kind of music you like? They know that because they've been hanging around you. They know that because of being in your acquaintance. Hear me very well. What we learned from Jesus sending others out to proclaim who he was and what he was all about is that as we follow him, there ought to be something about us, at least one thing about us that everybody ought to know. That if they don't know your favorite music, if they don't know what food you prefer, if they don't know even the neighborhood you live in, there ought to be one thing they know about you, and that is that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if they don't know anything else, they ought to know that I'm a child of God. They ought to know what I represent, that my public confession goes out before me. You ever been there before? Where individuals look at you, Mike, and they see how you handle things when things are trying to handle you. You ever been there before when people try to look at your life and they try to examine through your life, why is it that you are so peculiar? And then they say something like, You must go to church, huh? You ever had that before? Somebody just come out of the blue. You're in the grocery store. Somebody cut you off with a basket, hit your car, and you just look at them and just say, God, it's okay. God bless you. And folk look at you peculiar, say something wrong with them. You must be a Christian. Because there ought to be something in our confession that is a public declaration, that I don't have to wear a billboard around my neck to say, hey, I'm a Christian, that I don't have to carry a big Bible or have 20 million bumper stickers. Now, look, if that's your ride, I'm not criticizing your ride, but here's the reality of it, that Christ made it public, that this is what he stood for, that he was going to fulfill the Father's destiny that he's called to. And as followers of Christ, there ought to be something we stand for, and that we stand for the glory of God in everything. And how we live our lives and how we interact with one another, that we ought to represent and reflect the glory of God. And Jesus, determined to go the distance, set the message straight that he had a destination to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the place, but the destination was for our justification. Jerusalem was the place of pain, but he was going there because he was fulfilling a promise for you and I. Jerusalem was the place that was set out for him to give his life, but he gave his life so you and I could have life more abundantly. And he says, now I want you followers, believers, to follow me in fulfilling and going the destiny. Going to your destiny. It reminds me of John Stephen Akari. John Stephen Akari was in the 1968 Olympic Games. John Stephen Akari was. He was a runner from Tanzania. And there he was in the 68 Games, and he was running. But as he was running, he had an injury. He was injured from a fall on the track, Merle. He was injured from a fall on the track, but he kept on running. But in first place pass, there was an Ethiopian runner who came in, and he got first place. They were passing up John Stevens along the trackway, and there he was kept limping on as he was trying to run the race that was set before him. He limped so long that every runner in the race passed him up and already cleared the finish line. But get this, John never stopped running. Some patrons who were there watching the contestant games, they walked away, left the stadium, but John never stopped running. He kept on running with his limp, with his bandaged head hurting from the fall, but he kept on going forward with a commitment, to the point that when the media came to him and they asked him, John, why didn't you give up? John, why didn't you give in? John said this, and I quote, my country didn't send me to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. I'm trying to help you understand something, brothers and sisters, that when you follow Christ, Christ don't just get us to start the race, but Christ wants us to finish the race, to go the distance. No matter what comes your way from day to day, you go the distance and you say, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. And when others look at you and don't understand why you have such a concrete commitment, you can turn and tell them, but you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know how he picked me up, turned me around. I feel like preaching here. Place my feet on solid ground. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. We learn from Christ what it looks like in our lives to be dedicated to go the distance. But keep on reading the text. Because the text goes on to say in the 53rd verse, but people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? The disciples? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, disciples? Got caught up in an emotion because their Savior, the Savior, wasn't being received? And they turned to judgment, getting misguided because their mindset wasn't on the agenda of God. Their mindset was on the agenda of emotions. I'm trying to help you understand something. Jesus shows us that as we follow him through his demonstration, that he was determined to not be distracted. And when we focus our attention on God, hear me well, brothers and sisters, there will be times when seasons and circumstances will try to distract us from our focus. But what Christ demonstrates to us in his response to not drift toward the destination that the disciples were in was that as believers, we must already have a predetermination to not be distracted, that we ourselves must not go into a detour based on others' emotional responses to circumstances. Can I sit next to some Christians just for a moment here? Raise your hand if I can sit next to you just for a moment. Just raise your hand. I'm right here now. I got to sit right next to you. Here, let me sit right next to you for a moment, because oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we ought not be too critical of James and John. But do you see James and John in the text, how they have a judgmental spirit? James and John, they're the same ones who were with Jesus in the revelation on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus. They're the same ones who were walking with Jesus when he healed the sick and raised the dead. They were the same ones who saw Jesus forgive a Samaritan woman and forgive a woman caught in the act of adultery. They're the same ones who saw Jesus feed 5,000 people who were hungry. They were the same ones who saw Jesus' compassion given to all the crowd. They're the same ones who heard Jesus said, "For I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." They're the same ones who heard Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." They're the same ones who heard Jesus said, "Love others as I have loved you." They're the same ones who heard Jesus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yet in a fit of emotion because others weren't embracing their Jesus, the Savior, the same way they were embracing the Savior, all of a sudden those who've been walking in the love of God seem to forget that those individuals who rejected him are still loved by God. Actually, if I can sit next to you for a moment here, because the truth is sometimes we can be James and John. So quick to judge, not realizing the very people we judge are the very people Christ in his demonstration to go forward came to deliver. Can we be real about it? Because in our focus to follow, there will be distractions that will come. And our goal is to not be distracted or deceived, even when others reject the mission of Christ Jesus that we continue to follow. I often give this illustration. If I've done this for you before, just remember it when you get back into your vehicle, because in my vehicle, I don't know how yours is made, but in my vehicle is equipped with certain designer features. I mean, really, it's a great vehicle because in front of my vehicle is a glass that is very large. It takes up all the front of the vehicle. It's called the Yeah, oh, you saw my vehicle. Yeah, I knew you saw it. It's called the windshield. And there's another glass, Tom, that's about real small, that's affixed to the windshield. And it's the rearview mirror. It's designed so that when I'm looking at it, that I'm to glance and not glare. That the rearview mirror is designed, Lorraine, that I'm to glance at it, see what's behind me, but not glare, because the designers of the vehicle were so meticulous that they wanted my full attention to be what was in front of me and not behind me. I hope you're with me in this place here. Because sometimes there are distractions that will come your way, and God is saying, listen, don't get caught up with what's behind you. Don't get caught up with what's on the side of you. You keep your focus on the front, because you know accidents happen when you are distracted while you're trying to drive and trying to get you somewhere. The reality is that when you're living your life for Christ Jesus, he's saying, keep your focus clear. Look at him. Follow him, even in the face of challenges. Jesus Christ went in to challenge with a resolve that he would be committed to fulfill what God had called him to. Hear me, brothers and sisters. God has called you to glorify him. He's called you to edify the body of Christ. He's called you to give and to sacrifice so others might see his glory through you. And there will be some times where folk high on haterade, folk who get on your... You know what? I went the wrong way here. But even Christians get that last nerve from you. Got that last nerve. There's some people who try to get that. And God is saying, no matter what challenges come your way, no matter what you see in the news, no matter what you read on Facebook, no matter what happens in life, you have to have your commitment secured that no matter what happened, you're going to not be distracted and you're going to follow through with the destiny that God has called you to. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do I do this, preacher? I mean, I understand I got to follow my destiny. Here it is. Magnify what is most important. Because when you magnify what is most important, you minimize the distractions that try to distract you. And here's the word of God. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word of God is our guiding light. And we ought to magnify his word, because God is true to his word. And when we lift up his word and magnify his word, you'll notice how it will minimize distractions. When distractions come and say it can't be done, you ought to magnify his word that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When trouble comes, you ought to magnify his word that says, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. When trouble comes in your life, you ought to magnify his word and say, great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Anybody ever stood on the word of God when you're going through struggle, and you understand that when you magnify the word of God, God will stand strong in you, and he'll give you faith to face anything that comes to you. You know why? I feel it already. Because in Christ Jesus, we're more than conquerors. Why? Because we stand on the word of God. Brothers and sisters, as we move forward, we'll have the determination. Like Paul said in his writing, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Like he told the church at Ephesus, he said, therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand in the evil days. Have you checked the news lately? We're living in the evil days. Take on the armor of God that you're able to stand in the evil days. And when you've done all to stand, you stand. When no one else wants to follow Christ, you stand and you follow him anyway. You stand on forgiveness. You stand on grace. You stand on mercy. And when trouble comes, you stand because you know Christ is standing with you. And this is what he's calling us to as we follow him. Because as we follow Christ Jesus, not only should we learn from his decisiveness to fulfill his destiny, not only should we learn from his dedication to go the distance, his determination to not be distracted, to fulfill what he was called to, but we learn that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was devoted to our deliverance. Look at the end of the text. The text says, after he rebuked James and John, here it is. Text says he went on. I love it. He went on. He didn't stop. He just continued to go on to another village, progressing forward toward the destiny to deliver us. He went on. He went on loving us. even when we were not lovable. He went on forgiving. He went on paving the way on Calvary's cross for you and I, that we might be able to come to Christ and know God for ourselves. He went on, even though there was a challenge and adversity, he continued to go on, and he did it because he loves us. I want you to get this, brothers and sisters. Jesus was dedicated to go all the way for us, and our challenge this morning is for us to devote our lives to live all the way for him. He was willing to go all the way for you. We ought to be willing to do all that we do for him. So come on, brothers and sisters. How many of us will stand for God? How many of us will commit our lives to living for God? How many of us will stand in the face of evil days and say, you know what? I'm still going to represent Christ. How many of us are going to serve our families for the Lord's glory? How many of us will go in the workplace and transform the workplace into a place, a haven of glory and hope, because God is in us? God is calling all of us to follow him as we celebrate that he was willing to take the journey to the cross and to the grave and resurrect for you and I. He did it for us. Now he's calling us to do it for him. He's calling us to follow him. When I was a young kid, and my cousin sitting on the front row, I'm so glad you came out, baby. We used to play a game of racing. I learned that when you reach a certain age, you should stop racing your kids, but that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. We used to play a game of racing, Leslie, and we would always, there was somebody who would stand out in the front. And they would stand out in front, and all of us would be on point. We'd be my back, y'all. I would show you, but we'd be on point, and we'd get ready to go, and there was somebody who was standing. And they were standing, and I hope you see it. They would stand with their arms out. You remember that? They would stand with their arms stretched out, and they'd say, "On your mark, get set." Oh, you were with me in that race, huh? They said, "On your mark, get set, go." And at the call to go, we would take off from our positions. Well, come here, on Calvary's cross, we had a Savior whose hands were stretched open so that you and I might be able to experience his glory and live life of forgiveness. And he's saying, when you come to me, he said, now I'm telling you to get on your mark, get ready, and let's go. Let's go and win the kingdom. Let's go and tear down the walls of the enemy. Let's go and represent Christ. Let's go into the mission field and make disciples. Get ready. He said, let's go. And how many of you will go for him? How many of you will go for him? How many of you will go for him? How many of you will follow him? It starts by giving your heart to him. It's not a matter of just practicality. It's a matter of a heart commitment. It's giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, he'll come into your heart and he will give you your divine destiny to make a difference in the world for God's glory. That's what he's called Champion for us to. He called us as believers to. And that is to make a difference for his glory. It begins by inviting him in.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.